You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapters 9 and 10. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Holy God, we live in a world with violence, and we give thanks that you, who could be violent, have chosen not to be. You work for peace and are peaceful with us, so help us to be peacemakers as well. Amen. I like to walk. You know, it's peaceful. Maybe it owes to the fact that where I was born and raised, I had to walk 1 mile to the school bus stop on a dirt road, and yes, it was uphill both ways. In the winter, when it was cold and sometimes would snow in northern Arizona, it would be so dark out because we lived outside of town, outside the city limits of Sedona, Arizona. We were in the unincorporated Yavapai County Red Rock Loop Road. It was so early in the morning that it was dark when the bus would pick us up. And I remember the glow of the amber lights on the school bus. You know, our bus stop could be a challenging place at times. We were a hodgepodge, motley crew of children. There were children who came from stable middle-class houses. There were quite a few children that came from a trailer park on the Loop Road. Some kids that lived in trailers. We're not talking about, you know, nice double-wide modulars with the manicured landscaping and the homeowners association. No, we're talking out in the country. Some of us at our school bus stop spoke English primarily. Quite a few of my neighbors spoke Spanish primarily, and sometimes there would be conflict But you know, the truth be told is that even as children, we were not the focus. There were not a lot of kids that lived on the Loop Road or in Sedona at all. Most people who lived there were older. They were retired. They had retired to Sedona in order to live in a beautiful setting and enjoy their retirement. So kids, all of us, no matter what our background, we were in the minority. So it was a really big deal when somebody new moved to the neighborhood. We all took notice. Heads would turn on the bus when a new kid walked down the aisle. Would they be nice? Where would they live? Would they live in a house or maybe something else? Well, it must have been in the sixth grade when one day a new kid got on the bus who had moved to live in our neighborhood on the Loop Road. And indeed, everyone's heads turned, and I took the opportunity to go sit by the new kid. And we hit it off. We were joking around, and I thought, hey, this is cool. I'm going to have a new friend. And right then, Marcos showed up. He sauntered up to us, sat down, and right away insulted me. He said, "Why are you talking to Wes?" I felt like someone had dropped a brick in my stomach. Marcos was known for starting trouble and getting into fights. He was a couple years older than me, bigger, and mercifully, he had ignored me most of the time. But today was different. I told the new kid to just ignore Marcos. And so Marcos said, "What did you say? You don't tell him to ignore me." Things escalated a little bit. I really was just looking to make a new friend. But all of a sudden, I was having to get ready to defend myself. Marcos made some more rude comments. By the way, I've changed this person's name. But it is a true story. And I became thoroughly embarrassed. I tried to go sit on a different seat on the bus, but it was too late. Marcos said to me, "This isn't over. When we get off the bus, we fight." I started to shake with fear and anger. I knew Marcos was from a much rougher and tougher background than myself. He had had much more experience in this arena than I had, and I felt I didn't stand a chance. You know, as scary as it is to be faced with the prospect of violence from another human being, there are other things that are far more terrifying. Some people feel terrified by God. For example, if you read the Bible, depending on how you interpret different stories, you can walk away with the impression that God, when God is angry at you, punishes you for your sins. And since God is all-powerful, really there's nothing more terrifying than earning the wrath of God. Take, for example, our first reading this morning from Exodus chapter 19. It's the build-up to the Ten Commandments. God tells Moses and the people, "Hey, I got you out of slavery. I've brought you through the wilderness, and now at Mount Sinai, I'm going to give you the law. If you follow the law, what I want you to do, things will go well. If you don't, there will be consequences." You can read that and interpret it as God punishing. At least asking the question, does God punish violently with a heavy hand people who commit sin? You might wonder about God's punishment. Some people have wondered if the SARS-2 novel coronavirus, COVID-19, is a heavy-handed punishment from God. You might fear violence in other ways, thinking maybe it's God who's lashing out at you through other people, through emotional, verbal, or physical aggression. Some people who experience violence from other people for basically no reason at all maybe wonder, is God behind it? Then again, what if God is not in the business of punishing with violence? Take, for example, the Ten Commandments once again. God says God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The thing is, if you believe that God punishes with force, then that is going to trickle down into all of our own behavior and how we treat others within our own families, within the domestic sphere, within the public sphere. But if God acts differently, then that also affects how we act. In our reading this morning from Romans, there's a very significant verse. In Romans chapter 5, it says, we have peace with God through Christ. We have peace with God through Christ. Not something that we've earned. We don't have peace with God because we're so great or we follow the commandments. No, but because of Jesus loving us unconditionally, dying for us on the cross, and through his merits, through his faith first, we are blessed by faith because of Christ. And because of this, we have peace with God. There it is written in the Bible. God has chosen to be peaceful and kind and merciful to us. And we see that in Jesus' ministry. Jesus, when he encountered crowds of people that he mentioned in the gospel this morning, people that look like they've been harassed, people that are anxious, Jesus is peaceful. But Jesus is also peaceful with people who were very unpopular. Matthew, the person to whom our gospel is attributed to this morning and all this year, Matthew, the tax collector, despised by the people, known for extorting the people. Jesus is peaceful to Matthew. And throughout the Gospels, Roman centurions at times would come to Jesus, powerful people with the establishment. Jesus was peaceful with them as well. Jesus is peaceful precisely to people who do not deserve it. People like you and I. Jesus shows us that in God's heart, God is peaceful and loving and not violent. So then Jesus says to the 12 disciples and to us, commissions us, to say, you have received this grace from God. You've been treated better than you deserve. So go out and continue to be peacemakers like I have been to you. Use all of your strength, your soul, your might, your heart, your brain to work for peace. I like to walk. It's peaceful. But when I was in the sixth grade on the bus, I was not looking forward to walking home that day because I had been challenged to a fight with someone who was older and stronger and more experienced than me. And in those few moments as the bus approached the bus stop, I had tried to change my seat, but I was shadowed by Marcos, and he kept taunting me. And I didn't know what to say or do. And then something caught my eye. I noticed that Marcos was wearing around his neck a crucifix, a cross with Jesus on it. And with a shaky voice, I said, "Marcos, what are you wearing on your neck?" And he said, "What? Do you have a problem with my religion?" I said, "No, not at all, actually. I also am a Christian and believe in Jesus. I guess I'm just wondering, if you believe in Jesus, do you really think he wants you to fight me for no reason? I mean, if you wear that cross around your neck, you're saying you follow Jesus. Is that what Jesus would have you do?" That was the end. I should say that was the beginning. Because Marcos, in the moment, hung his head. He moved to a different seat. When we pulled up to the bus stop and the air brakes, whatever, let out, and the bus driver opened the door, Marcos was the first one out the door, and he walked fast in front of everyone else to his house. I walked home in peace and grateful. As time went by in our small little neighborhood, we all knew each other. We all saw each other. There weren't that many of us. Marcos and I got along fine. In fact, we would even ride bikes together. We would even mountain bike together around Pyramid Rock. Turns out if you like mountain biking, you don't really need to get in a fight to experience pain. But by God's Spirit, we are called to be peacemakers. Not to be docile, not to be doormats, but to be assertive, thoughtful, loving, kind. To use all of our strength and our soul. Even today, especially today, you are called to be a peacemaker. To follow the way of Christ. So go in the tradition of the 12 disciples and be a peacemaker. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.